Hello and welcome to the Cruel Summer Podcast. My name is James.
And my name is Marco Sparks.
And today we're talking about Season 2, Episode 10 of Cruel Summer, Endgame. If it sounds like there's a little kick in my step, it's because we're done after this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this show's so dumb. Bad. Yeah. Dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I'm jealous of you. You're like hopped up on goofballs right now to get through it. I had to run to the store and get a can of beer to help out with. So if you'll excuse me, I'm about to open this thing up.
What the fuck is that?
This is a quart. This is a giant can of Oktoberfest beer. Got myself a little mug to put it in.
Looks like a fucking thing of motor oil. God, I hope it has the same consistency of motor oil. I'm just going to watch. This is good radio.
I know. It's good radio.
No,
I
hope this thing doesn't
spoil.
Get the glass up on the camera. I want to see all of it. It looks like a Mega Foster's.
There's it next to my head so you can see how big it is. Yeah.
Fucking A. It's almost up there. Mm-hmm. Mm. If only they had a can as girthy as your head, though, right?
Yeah, I know. Let's see if I can drink this whole thing. I'll be pretty shit-faced. This is like four beers.
Well, I mean, do you want to just take like 10 sips before we start? People will wait.
Anyway, this episode is written by Ellie
Treadman.
Yeah.
Directed by Bill Purple, my boy Bill Purple. I was like, I don't know, whiling away the other night watching episodes of New Girl, and I saw that he had directed one. I was like, Bill Purple, you're following me. Mm.
Into the Endgame. Past. Why is it even called Endgame, really? I don't know. It's like that. It's just what we call like last episodes now.
I don't know.
Endgame is like a chess term, right?
It's a chess term.
Among other things, yeah. But like,
yeah, but like,
were you playing a lot of chess here?
No. Is there like a 0D chess? But like, do people, were they like envision this show as being like people were super obsessed with the ships, if you will?
So after watching this episode, I was like, okay, I'm finally gonna go take a look at their Reddit, the subreddit for this, and like see what people are saying. It seems like they mostly hated it, but like there were like a weird amount of people who were like they hated the twist ending because they felt like it like betrayed Isabella's character, and they're like really like pro Isabella. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? Like, seriously, you're sociopaths if you didn't realize that she was a sociopath.
I read something where the showrunner said that they had decided on Isabella being the killer like early on. But I definitely
I don't know.
I mean, this was aired on July 31st. I mean, we're talking about spoilers up front. There's no way they thought about Brent being involved in this halfway through the season, right?
I don't even know. It was also like, we'll get to the opening bit in a second. Like, as soon as that little bit played, I was like, oh, okay, it's Isabella. Like, it seemed incredibly obvious. I was like, okay, so this is the fake out where it's like it was actually an accident. And I'm like, and then later on, we're going to get a cut where it's like, somehow Luke wasn't dead yet, and then Isabella shows up and kills him. That's exactly what happened. Like, I think the only reason we really weren't thinking about Isabella before is because it would be so obvious as to be pointless. Like, he portrayed her as this weird sociopath the entire show. And so at the end, to be like, guess what? She's crazy. It's like, yeah, we know. Like, she was a weird non-human being the entire time. Like, that was really where you're going with this, huh? Okay.
Oof, I say. There's so many. So I was thinking about this like when I watched this last night. The whole season has these things that are wrong. God, that is so much head.
He's talking about my beer stein.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of foam there, baby. Yeah, the show had so many things that were like wrong, you know, overall over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. But then each episode was always had like one or two massive flaws.
And it's amazing right now, all the threads they did not close in this episode, or that they tried to close so incredibly sloppily.
But like at the same time, what the fuck was the sheriff waiting for to watch the footage?
Well, it never made sense.
He's had the footage for episodes.
Like, why didn't you watch all this footage 6 months ago, like when he disappeared? Yeah, it's dumb. Looking at the subreddit, it was just funny see people being like, oh, that wasn't as good as season one. It's like, yeah, no shit.
The only time I looked at it was, I don't know, like a month and a half ago, where people were just discovering like the actor who plays Luke was like not a great person. And they were like, oh, but he seems like such a sweetie pie. It's like, I don't know.
That's,
I don't know.
I mean, as far as like lead performances in a TV show go, got to be one of the biggest duds I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
It's just nothing there.
Yeah, just a vortex of charisma. Mm-hmm. I guess we have no punches to pull.
No, I mean, I don't know. Sorry, man. I call him like I see him. I just didn't think the show was any good. It seemed clear that the writers didn't really know how to work with the timelines in an interesting way. They basically were telling a very straight up murder mystery, like with all the classic so-and-so thinks they killed the person, but he actually wasn't dead. And then the other person actually did it. Like, I feel like that's like every kind of twisty murder mystery TV show now pull something like that.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing would have been better is if Isabella showed that chick on the plane her like dollhouse made of human teeth. Mm-hmm. Don't tell mama. Yeah.
Still annoyed about the ending of that show.
Really?
It just felt like it like really yada yada over like the interesting twist at the end. Mm. Like it was like it was too good to like actually be a murder mystery.
Mm. Not this show.
No. This show's absolutely not too good.
I feel like if you were to buy people who made the show a drink, they're going to be like small staff.
It seems very obvious that like they had to write some shit in a hurry.
Yeah. And like, then there was like some, you know, we're making the show. We can't bring in a lot of the writers. We got one person or two people trying to shit, but if so-and-so's here and that one's there, you know,
why was Parker even in the show? What was the whole point of that type of a thing? Yeah.
Which we haven't seen Parker in like 2 weeks, right? Like she goes in the sheriff's.
She goes in. Oh, by the
office,
way,
did she just know, like eats out of there?
Did you know? I saw this on the Reddit. Apparently, Parker is the sheriff's stepdaughter.
Is that what he said, baby?
I guess at some point that's revealed in dialogue somewhere, but like that had no impact on the show at all. Like, okay.
No. Well, the same thing too. Like, did they ever in dialogue indicate that whatever happened to Luke's mother was Luke's fault or that somebody felt that way?
No, they didn't at all until this episode where it's like, oh, was that supposed to be a thing? Or the way they're like, oh, it's in remission now with Debbie, who's not even in this episode, so we can't make fun of her.
We haven't seen Debbie. They ran out of her prescription of idiot pills. Yes. Like, I don't think we've seen Debbie in 2 weeks either.
But they're just like, they set up this whole thing with like, oh, Debbie has some sort of illness. And then they kind of yada yada it in the last episode to be like, oh yeah, she off screen, but in the time period we never showed, she got cancer, but now she's in remission. Everything's fine. It's like, okay.
It's like they have to be like, oh, by the way, everyone, just so you know, Megan is totally 18. So that's why we're not going to have Debbie in any of these copious police interrogation scenes.
Also, remember how Megan was pregnant?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Why was that in there? It's like they wrote that in thinking they were going to do something with it and then just forgot about it.
Well, it's like,
apparently the showrunner like did an interview where she's like, oh, it was a false positive on the test or something. It's like, wow, that's lazy.
She was never actually. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, just so the sheriff, like the clunker line of the sheriff's just like, yeah, I think Luke rejected the idea of having a baby with you. So you killed him. It's like, did you just hand him a note off screen? Like he's a newscaster and been like, use this.
Yeah. Anyway, this episode's events are about to unfold and take place on around January 1st, 2000 and August 2nd, 2000. Okay. So it's the dock. It's night. We get the little title card that says 5 a.m. I think here. Yeah. January 1st, 2000, 5 a.m. So just so we know what time it is here. And it's kind of a replay. Luke doesn't look nearly as like completely fucked up and out of it here, I thought. Like, I don't know, they probably filmed this on different days or something. I don't know. Did you get that impression?
No, he looks like he's just had a good think.
Yeah, he doesn't also, like, in the last episode, he was like kind of like cold sweat. Like, he looked like on death's door, kind of.
He looked like he does at the very end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, my man has never looked more like Katie Lang than he does right now.
So, anyways, he says, I didn't think you'd come to the person who walks up. And then we see who it is, and it's Brent.
Talk about least interesting.
Yeah. Oh, he says, well, it's my first, it's my public service for the year. And he says, so come on. And he like bends over to like pull him up from the dock. And then the camera does this weird thing where it like it's like looking out from the lake, and then it like drops into the water, or like it pretend drops into the water, and there's like water bubbling noises, and then we like cut to later.
I find this to be incredibly jarring for whatever they're going for. Yeah. This is not the way to cut off.
No, especially because they only do it in this episode and not other episodes. It's like a weird stylistic choice. It doesn't work.
Secondly, when it's inky black water, it's hard to telegraph that we're like sinking down into like we're going to go find the island sunk at the start of season six of Lost. Thirdly, it sure read to me, since they've never really established the geography of where we are in Washington State wonderfully, it felt like he was being fished out of the fucking ocean in the first episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's just a lake.
Yeah, yeah. It's they've kind of confused that with the whole jellyfish thing. Also, like, I feel like this immediately communicates that whatever's about to happen next is an accident, because Brent is like, he seems like completely unthreatening. He's like smiling a little bit, like, hey, baby bro, like, I'm here to help you out. You know, like, if he had been like annoyed at the beginning of the scene, then we might have thought, like, oh, like, maybe he killed him, you know, and like, we'll find out what happens later. But no, like, we immediately know, okay, it's probably some sort of thing where, like, you know, it was an accident. He fell in and Brent couldn't find him. And, you know, it's like, it takes all the tension out of that. Like, we immediately know this isn't Brent's fault, not really.
What if the first, like, the prologue of the season premiere or whatever
was this,
you know, like, you had like kind of a pseudo usual suspects thing. I don't know.
But I still think you need Brent to come off it as more hostile
or slimy
or more also, like more standoffish, like not like I'm here to help you.
Brent's look in this episode drove me nuts. Cause number one, my man has kind of a sideburn on one side of his face, but not on the other side of his face. Like, why does he have an uneven haircut on network TV? That's bizarre. Also, he's dressed like a modern girly. Like, he's got like the shapeless pants that girls wear now.
Wow. Okay.
Like, he's like
going after my man's fit.
He looks, it's like you would be rocking it like in 2023, Brent. You see the big T.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So cut back to the Chambers Business Center where Steve comes down. Oh, this scene is so dumb. He comes down to find some wet footsteps, some like mildly wet footsteps. Look at the banister. This is not a home.
Yeah, I know. And like, the audience is so far ahead here where he's like, oh, what's all these footprints? And then he finds Brent like kind of sulking, like soaking wet. And it's like, we already know exactly what happened. You know, like it's not really like the specifics of it and how like Luke fell in the water don't really matter. It's like, obviously something happened that wasn't intended and he feels like shit now. Yada, yada, yada.
But supposedly he's soaking wet, but like with this filter, you really can't tell that he's wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everything's like, just blue.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, there's something I need to tell you, Dad.
I feel like this is a show for, I don't know, 15-year-olds who haven't seen. They don't have like a lot of
mystery.
Like, they don't have like a lot of like media literacy to call upon.
That's putting it charitably. I don't know. I am of the opinion that they make so many TV shows now that they don't have enough writers who have enough experience to really, you know, make them well. And also, I don't know. I feel they're not, I mean, obviously this is a strike thing. They're not developing writers anymore. Like all the hires now are like Nepo people and like people who have like a lot of Twitter followers. They're not writers.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
This is a quality you get.
Yeah. So what's his name has driven back. Steve Chambers has driven back to the dock and he's like run on there and he's like yelling and he's like looking down into the water.
I don't know what he's expecting really.
You
know,
yeah, but this dude's not getting wet. He's not jumping in.
He definitely is not. I mean, Brent jumped in, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, it's pretty cold. You know, I could get hypothermia in there. He's like shouting out Luke. Like, I don't know, man. I think Luke's dead. But, you know, it's been like, it's the sun is up now. It's the winter time. So it's got to be, I don't know, 7 or 8 o'clock at least.
They're not playing with real weather.
Sure.
In Washington State here. Well, later when he's like sitting out, like looking at the fucking pool or whatever, he'd be freezing in his bathrobe.
Yeah.
So then we cut to January 1st, 2000, 4:10 a.m. And this is when Megan and Isabella have gotten back after leaving Brent there. And Megan says, first thing in the morning, we're going back. We're untying
him. Is it a little weird that we're going back in time now to this? I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter, but.
Yes and no, because some of these time jumps are arbitrary. Mm-hmm. When Brent goes to check on his dad in a little bit, and it's like January 3rd, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Well, I've been out here all night." It's like staring at your pool. That's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so Isabella's just like, unbelievable, Megan. We just left him and you're already thinking about going back for him.
I mean, unless you really want to murder someone, you can't exactly just leave them tied up forever, you know? Like,
with open wounds?
With open wounds, I mean, you know, you've already drugged him. Like, I don't know what she's expecting. This is why, like, it's not a twist later when it's like, oh, she was evil the whole time. It's like, yeah, we know. We've been watching the show. She's a complete piece of shit. She's not a real person. Like, she isn't written like a real human being. She's just a collection of like sociopathic tendencies.
Well, like, I know when we started this podcast, I kept saying, I feel like it's really centered on Megan. Mm-hmm. And like, we kept waiting for like a real Isabella episode. But like, even still, the focus that Isabella did get at the beginning of the show, she has not gotten in a few weeks.
Well, I think she's supposed to be like the Jeanette Turner of this season, but she's not. Like, Jeanette Turner had us guessing all the way till the end. Like, that was, she was so inscrutable. That was like one of the fascinating aspects of the show, is like, you could never get a true read. It's like, is she lying or is she not? Like, we want to be sympathetic, but at the same time, she seems really weird and squirrely and we just can't tell. Here, it's not really a mystery. Like, Isabella was always kind of a bad person, like right from the start. And that doesn't like make any of the other characters better. Like, I saw a lot of people who've been on Reddit. It's like, oh, she was so mistreated by Megan. It was like a bitch to her. And then like Luke sucked. It's like, yeah, they suck too. But that doesn't like let Isabella off the hook for being like a weird sociopath.
Yeah. Well, so you would want at this point, this whole episode should be about making Isabella look good up until the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's literally like how the finale of season one works.
Mm-hmm. No, instead she just comes off even more unhinged. She's like, we need to leave him tied up to learn his lesson. I don't know why she in particular is so mad at Luke.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe just because he told about like him sleeping with her or something. Yeah. But like she's way more mad at Luke than Megan is, who I feel like has a lot more right to be mad at Luke. And once again, I'm just asking like, why, if Megan is like so anti-Luke now because he's like messing up like the BFF, you know, relationship here, why did she push them to get together in the first place? Like, why did she have such a hard on to put Luke and Megan together only to immediately turn around and be like, oh no, third wheel?
Well, the real world version of that would be to then hit home the martyr thing to Megan.
Yeah.
To be like, look what I've sacrificed for you. Yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so Isabella really tries to pull this, look, I'm in the clear here because I did not mean for the gun to go off, even though I pulled the trigger. So
I wanted to scare him. So it's like, okay, so if you wanted to scare him, then you did pull the trigger, you know?
Yeah. And so Megan's just like, you know what you're doing? Another couple inches, he would have been dead. And as well, I was like, oh, it's just an accident, Megan. Calm the fuck down. So Megan says,
I'm going back at 8, come or don't. So Megan just looks like very wounded by that. Like, oh, wow. Like, I can't believe you, like, I'm taking this personally that you want to like make sure that your now ex-boyfriend doesn't literally die because of what we did to him.
Outrageous. Yeah.
Yeah. So also, then
how does she get back there? How does Isabella get back there?
I mean, she takes a car on her own. I don't know.
I mean, but there's a couple times when there's a point when she gets left at the police station and she's like, I'll find my own back. Mm-hmm. I'm like, good luck hitching. Like,
why does she go to the dock in the first place? Anyway, it is sun. There's sunlight outside. I don't know. I don't think we get a timestamp on this, but it's, you know, 8. We'll assume it's like 8. They're driving back to the cabin, both Megan and Isabella. They come in, they open the door, and there's no one there. Now, I'd like to point out that the bed still has like the bloody sheets on it and whatnot.
Yeah.
Are we to assume that they never came back and cleaned this up until summer 2000 when Luke's body was found? Like, did they just leave this here the whole time? And then,
well, don't we see Steve in the cabin at one point before that?
It'd have to be in this episode, right?
I think so, maybe. Like,
I guess we'll keep an eye on it. But yeah, like what was she doing cleaning this cabin in summer 2000? Like,
was he like
nobody from the Chambers house ever came here in 6 months?
Is he like, Brent, come over here. What's happened here? Do you have your period on this pillow here? Or what's going on? No Chambers man has a period on a pillow. Wait, like what? Yeah, there's a giant bloody pillow.
Why would Megan have held on to it all this time?
Also, we have not seen when they got together to the soundtrack from Cruel Intentions. Like, Megan really hits home for us, like the woods and this path and like
the geography dock. Has never been properly established.
Never, none of it is. We don't know how far away the drive to the cabin is from like Chatham. But like, does Isabella know where the dock is? Is that
I just couldn't cover,
is that camera not a part of the footage that they confiscated from Ned Fonts? Like,
could have, would think could have put some line in about how it's like a game camera and they need to like check with the, you know, the local
park make ranger. The argument that the camera pointing at the water may be more important than the one pointing at the road.
You think you would have pulled that like really quickly? Yeah,
even the first thing. Also, what is he just like? Oh man, see, here's the thing. There's like 6 hours of footage. That's going to take us 8 months. Like,
well,
the mystery was, to watch it all.
The mystery is always too confused because right from the start, it's like, okay, you found this body after 6 months. Somehow the body is still intact enough for you to be able to like do a talk screen and be like, oh, he had drugs in his system and he died from drowning. Also, his ear had like a graze on it. Like, somehow the ear is still intact and it's like it was grazed by a bullet. And so we immediately know, okay, well, the gunshot didn't kill him. He drowned after he was drugged. And so, like, anything relating to the gun is a red herring immediately. Like, we know that. The audience knows that. The sheriff knows that. For some reason, they're pretending like the gun matters at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so the girls are yelling in the woods, you know, and, like, Megan's giving Isabella shit because, like, oh, now you're upset, worried about Luca to hit his head or whatever.
She thinks that Megan went back and untied him. Which is funny because she probably went back to check on him and saw he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it spells like, and how'd he get out? And Megan's like, I don't know. It wasn't me. Could be around here anywhere. They're shouting for Luke. Isabel's like, maybe he fell or something, hit his head.
Mm-hmm. Landed his face in some mud.
She has a line here where Megan says, like, what? Now you're worried about his health? And the delivery here when Isabel says, I'm just tossing out possibilities. It's like a really bad line read. And they just left it in there. I guess they didn't care at this point. I mean, for all you know, he could have gotten scared of the tape getting out and run away. Sure. Yeah. Does Isabella, like, first of all, why does it take 6 months to find the body? Second of all, like, does Isabella think they're never going to find the body? Like, she's already got one drowning, body on her record. So she know that, like, you find them typically.
Well, like, are they going to, like, was she going to weigh him down of rocks or something? Yeah, so it's later. We're at back at Megan's place. She's on the phone with a hospital, like trying to see if anyone matching Luke's descriptions there. We see on her screen that she's apparently hacked into
hack.
Year 2000 911 dispatch. But like, Isabella's like really worried, like, oh my god, you didn't give them your name at the hospital. And she's like, of course not, I'm not an idiot.
So they're really concerned. They need to find him now before anyone else does, because I guess he'll like tell on them. You know, I guess that's their concern right now. So she's like, I hacked into the 911 call center.
Well, also, Megan is generally worried about his well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Isabella, I think that's her concern here, is like, she's exposed now, theoretically.
Yeah. So she's like, this tape makes us look bad. We need to destroy it. I'm really good at destroying VHS tapes. I burn them 2 feet from my Airstream that I live in.
And Megan's like, cool. You take that tape and I won't ask about it later.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Megan. Come on. That tape is hella incriminating for both of you. If I'm Megan, I need to see that destroyed myself. I'm not just going to be like, oh yeah, you take it and go destroy it. And I'm not going to follow up on that later.
So presumably that thing that we didn't know what it was a pillowcase. So they must have gotten back for the pillowcase, the girls.
You mean the bloody thing?
The bloody thing.
Yeah, but like, she goes back for that like in June, I think, or July or whatever.
We just see her cleaning then. We don't know if she'd got it then.
But like, why was she cleaning then? Like, what is she hoping to clean up? Like, it's just no one's been there in 6 months.
Also, where we see her cleaning is like by the door or whatever. It's like, I don't think you need to worry about the forensics right inside the front door.
The whole money thing gets written off as like Brent. Like, that was like a total ass
pull. Oh, he just dropped her money off there. Like, how did he have her money?
That was just them being like, hey, here's another thing we forgot to address, another loose thread we set up that didn't go anywhere. So we have to like just provide an answer for it somewhere in the episode.
Yeah. So like Megan mentions, like, this was a stupid plan that we had. And Isabella is just like, oh my God, you're starting to forgive him.
He kissed me. He bragged about sleeping with both of us. He made the sex tape, for God's sake. Everything that's happened over the past few weeks is his fault. And then Megan says, you're not exactly blameless. You lied to my face about sleeping with him. Ooh, shit. She says, I don't know if I'm ever going to trust you again. Megan looks crushed by this. She just walks off.
Isabella.
Or, sorry, whatever.
I'm like, I need to introduce you to these two characters. How much of this beer have you
had? Not nearly enough. I still got quite a bit.
Yeah, you did. Get gulping. Mm-hmm. Glug, 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 glug.
So your favorite scene here with the Chambers boys on January 3rd.
I was like, what? I had to rewind because I missed the initial little like title card in the corner to be like, when is this? Is this January 2nd or, you know, or January 3rd? But it's January 3rd. They're out by the pool. It's very hard. Like there's some classic Bill Purple artistic shots in this episode.
But we're like, really obsessed with water.
And reflections. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, at first I was like, are they back by the dock? And it's like, no, eventually we're going to find out that he's just by the pool drinking coffee. And Brent's just like, you've been out here all night staring at the pool. And he's like, yeah, I couldn't sleep. And it's just like, okay, I didn't drown him in the pool, Dad.
And he's just like, don't worry about it, son. Like, you're not going to go away for this. I'm going to fix it. That's what we do. Chamber six things.
I just don't think, unless the guy playing Brent is worse at this than I think, like, I just don't think, like, around episodes 5 and 6, this actor knew that he had killed this dude.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, no, all the 2020 scenes, like, if you go back and watch them, it's not there.
Yeah.
So anyways, they walk back inside after he says he's going to take care of things. There's a knock at the door. This is like, a weird shot where, like, we're, like, in, like, extreme kind of, like, narrow focus. And so it's like all blurry as Megan walks up until she finally hits her mark and is in focus. And she's like, did you hear from Luke? And Steve's like, not yet.
So you have some answers. This guy is just going to take his time and just chew everything he can.
He wants to know if Luke was mixed up in anything. If he was, she can tell him. And she's like, yeah, I know, but he wasn't.
I feel like Paul Edelstein is just like, I don't care what anyone says to me. I'm not going to rush this.
What was the movie he was in that I liked?
The Menu.
The Menu. Yeah, he's like, I was in The Menu. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want. That's directed by the guy who directed Severance. Not Severance, no. Succession. I can do whatever I want.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'm Succession adjacent. Mm-hmm. Also, thank you to Adriana, who chimed in to correct the previous comments that I made about Private Practice that I got from somebody. Luke was Paul Adelstein's surprise bio child. Debbie was the child's stepmother because Katie Strickland's character was the main love interest for Paul Adelstein. Thank you.
Wow.
I never want to talk about Private Practice again, you guys.
Mm-hmm. I can talk about The Menu.
Yeah, that movie was great. Like, I think Taye Diggs was in that show. Imagine A Cruel Summer season 3 somehow featuring Taye Diggs.
At the end of the show, should we pitch our Cruel Summer season 3 idea? Which we at don't have yet.
This recording? Yeah. Or like another in a future at the end recording?
Of we're not recording again, man. Now think about it.
I would love to take a week.
No, you get 2 hours or however long it takes us to get there.
I might need some more goofballs. Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, did he tell you about the Coast Guard? And he's like, yeah, we had a big fight about it. I thought it was a mistake. You think you ran away? And she's like, he didn't say anything about it. I have as many questions as you.
Yeah. So Sheriff Myers started investigating. He'll get some answers.
Apparently, you know, he won't think to check the videotapes for several months, though.
Seriously.
Hopefully he comes home and this is all for nothing, Steve says. Yeah.
So Megan comes running into Isabella's Airstream where Isabella's like doing her nails. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Steve was just here asking if I knew why Luke would have run away. And like, I feel like Isabella starts immediately just like blowing on her nails, which is the immediate sign of like, I don't care.
This would be a
neat little... She says, well, duh, yeah, he's a missing person.
This would be a neat little tell if it wasn't so obvious that she was a sociopath. You know what I mean? If they'd done a better job with the Isabella character, like stuff like this would be like, oh, that was kind of clever. But instead, it's, no, sorry.
I want like a scene. I want like a National Lampoon version of this where it's like in the foreground, like Megan's like freaking out about Luke and what could have happened. Like Isabella's like taking off her coat that says like her shirt that says I'm the murderer on it in the background, putting her sweater on. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like, how can he be so calm? And the spell says freaking out gets you nowhere. You have to be logical. Something happened to Luke. We need to make sure it doesn't come back on us. How do we do that? Ethan said, Steve thinks Luke clearing away. Let's just go with that. Sure.
No, then the hand wavy thing is that Megan has been faking Luke's handwriting since he was a child so she can write the note from Luke saying he ran away.
Yeah, Isabella suggests writing the letter, which is like, this is not a good idea because presumably if he's not dead, they're eventually going to, like, he would make it a reappearance and they'd be like, hey, what's with this letter you wrote? And he'd be like, I didn't write that. And then they'd be fucked. So it only makes sense if you know that he's not coming back.
Which I think is interesting about, like, the ending of, like, Gone Girl. There's a couple of details that don't make sense, but, like, once you have the person who's willing to sell that story, it works, but they don't have that here.
Yeah.
They could have written a more oblique note that's just like, hey, it's Luke. You're not going to see me for a while. Fuck off. Or, you know, like, make it more vague.
Just make it more vague. I can't be here anymore or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I can't. It turns out I'm allergic to bad writing. Bye-bye. Yeah. And so as well, it's just like pretending you had no part of this. And you're good. Remember, you're the girl whose boyfriend disappeared.
What are we supposed to do while we're waiting for
Amanda knocks it, girl.
Yeah. Act like you're totally normal.
Did anyone ever actually watch that? I think it was a Freeform show. It was like the fake Amanda Knox show.
No, although
it had Giles in it.
No, there is a movie.
Right, Giles' daughter.
There is a Matt Damon movie that was like kind of an Amanda Knox-ish plotline. It's that one where he goes to France. I can't think of the name of it right now. He like plays like a real salt of the earth, like Republican guy.
Oh, is that what's going on in that?
It's like he's this like salt of the earth dude and his daughter gets arrested in France. And so he moves to France and then it turns into like kind of a weird romance where he like meets some woman and they fall in love and all this stuff. And then at the end of the movie, it's like the daughter gets off and then it's like revealed that like she actually was the murderer or something insane. I know the real Amanda Knox got pretty pissed about it, as I recall from when that movie came out.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the show, which also had Billy Zane.
Mm.
Chewing scenery as like the superstar defense
lawyer. You don't
lawyer.
Say Billy Zane chewing scenery.
Yeah.
The Phantom, he would never.
Yeah.
By the way, do you want to watch Past Lives at some point? I downloaded it.
Oh,
it's supposed to be like, amazing.
Downloaded it weeks ago, but I have not watched it yet.
Oh.
I read an interesting counter review to the praise that movie's getting. I'm very curious to see it now.
Oh.
Why don't we all just
have fun.
Back here?
Let's just pause and go watch Past Lives.
We'll both leave the recording on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our 6-hour episode. But I would say, why don't we all just meet back here in a week and just talk about Past Lives? That's come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're cut to like, we're outside a movie theater where Girl Interrupted is playing.
Well, she has a line here. She says, it's like, oh, you got to act normal, pretend you had no part in this. But like, she should be acting like she's super concerned for her boyfriend then, you know? And then she says, remember, you're the girl whose boyfriend disappeared. Which I feel like if she's saying you're the boy whose girlfriend disappeared, that has a way different meaning. And I don't know if they mean it to have the same meaning here or not. Right?
Oh, so like whether she's guilty or she's
if you're the boy whose girlfriend disappeared,
you look guilty.
Everyone's looking at you. If you're the girl whose boyfriend disappeared, I don't know if she's saying the same thing or she's trying to communicate like you're innocent. No one will bother you. You know,
I think the second option there.
Okay.
Which I think she's telling her to play it more concerned and grief stricken, which Megan is already there.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her to be like, also, Megan, you might want to start getting some like grease and just like making your hair look disgusting.
We never really get the explanation for that other than that, like, she went, you know, Trinity at some point in those 6 months.
Like, would it have been better if, like, we saw in this episode that she saw The Matrix for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
She's just like,
she hadn't seen it yet.
Like, yes.
That's a shit.
So this is the kind of movie theater where they only have 2 showings.
Girl Interrupted, 2 showings.
Yeah.
You know, I think it says a lot about this show that I didn't even bother to look that up because I normally like to fact check them on all their 90s stuff. And at this point, I'd stopped caring.
I could be wrong. I could look up the picture online and make sure I'm seeing this right. I think another movie playing at this theater soon is Deuce Bigelow. I'm not positive of that from the poster.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a Deuce Bigelow poster in the background there, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Girl Interrupted came out in December of 1999, so sure.
Sure. So we got the baby oil girls here who were like talking to Megan, like, oh my God, Luke just disappeared. He didn't tell you where he was going. It's like they had to work these girls in.
Scene is so weird, honestly. Because Megan's just like, I'm sure he'll turn out somewhere, some lame excuse. And they're like, right, sure, of course. Keep good thoughts, you know? And so Megan walks off and they both look at each other and just be just like, dude, chill. That guy's totally dead. Like, that's basically what they're saying to each other. They're like, oh, poor thing, right?
Do we think that Amy is ever actually interested in Jeff? I just don't see it.
Which one is? Oh, Jeff, right. I'm like, who's Jeff?
Exactly.
Poor Jeff in this episode. He gets one scene. We'll discuss that later. But yeah, I don't. These are not characters. They didn't do anything. Like, these are just like the dumb hoes, basically. And they never did anything to make them interesting at all. Like, they never gave them an ounce of depth or, like, you know, like an unexpected twist or any sort of characterization that's interesting.
Well, the sad thing is, I don't know the brunette's name at all.
No.
Amy's name has been mentioned multiple times. Also, if you look at their fashion here, they have dressed Amy, who is so supposedly
they look like they're in like 1984 here.
What? Amy looks like she's five. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, look at the fucking like little heart vest.
Pink pastel, like puffy jacket and a heart vest and a pink shirt on underneath. Yeah.
Like, she needs like little fucking clips or something in her hair. But I don't know what her friend's name is at all. So also, it drove me nuts. Megan is hanging these posters in the shittiest way possible.
Yeah. She's doing
every poll, which is going to be annoying.
Some actors are really good, like doing scene work, you know, like for example, getting a pitcher of water out of the fridge and pouring it and whatnot, as we might see on Pretty Little Liars. But no, these actors, not so much.
Yeah. Well, you need to have that thing where you're just handed an empty coffee cup, and how do you work it with your coffee cup skills? I feel like we linger on this guy that she's talking to for a little bit.
Yeah, just a random dude she gives a flyer to. Do you see Lucy Hale's latest Instagrams?
I'm so disjointed from it. What are the latest?
She's like in Italy or something for some fashion thing.
Okay.
Anyway, looking hot. They're very nice. Yeah.
Have you been looking at Kiara Realist's Instagram at all?
I don't follow her. No, I follow like two people from PLL, and pretty much that's it.
Everyone, is anyone out there following Kiara Aurelia's Instagram? She looks like she might be the most fun person in the world.
She needs to be in more stuff.
Apparently, she's friends with Emily Allen Lind. I would love to be a fly on the wall of that friendship. That sounds dangerous for me. But also the tape, like, good God, give this woman like a staple gun or something. This thing is going to blow off. Yeah. Thank God you're doing every poll in the lamest way possible. But yeah, here comes Jeff with his camera.
Here comes Jeff with his camera. And I'm like, come on, man. Can you just tell this guy every scene you have to be holding a fucking camera? This is your only like personality at all.
I feel like when they had like the look meetings, mm-hmm. Bill Purple came in and he's just like, the camera is going to be the memory. We're going to zoom in on TVs and that's how we're going to do flashbacks.
There's a whole video motif.
They're like, sounds great, Bill. Maybe a little bit in the finale in a way that will like not track. Because that's what he does. He does some interesting stuff where like,
we're going in and out of screens. Camera.
Yeah, but it's like, that's not found in the text.
The fact that she had a character who's filming everything constantly, and it basically comes to nothing. There is one scene where it's like, oh, we isolated the audio and we can like hear you incriminating yourselves in the background. But other than that, it didn't go anywhere. Like, I'm sorry, that's a missed opportunity.
Well, like one of the highs I would be dying to chase in a TV show like this is, if anyone's seen American Vandal season one, we keep hearing about all these events, these different time periods in this timeline. And we keep hearing about this party. And so they do one episode that is just the party, but recreated from everyone's social media, like their Snapchats, their Instagrams, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, if you could recreate like the New Year's Eve party, you know, for half an episode or a scene or an act, that's just from like Jeff's various camera.
Yeah, just POVs.
Give value for why we had the fucking camera. Or do a thing where now everyone's got a camera for this one thing because Jeff's talked everyone into documenting this moment. Anyway.
So he's like, oh, I was thinking I could make a video about Luke and send it to the local news. That way,
Lord knows I got a fuck ton of footage.
Yeah, they can call his dad. And she's like, yeah, great idea, actually. So long. We won't be seeing you again. What we just talked about will have no meaning or impact on the rest of the episode.
Fuckity bye bye. Mm-hmm. It'd be great if the video he sent to the local news was just like all the dirtbag comments Luke said.
Just like, check out this piece of shit. Which, like, even in this episode, they're really trying to be like, oh, he only said those dirtbag things because of peer pressure and he's really a good guy. And I'm like, what are you trying to say, Sho? Like, what do you think you're communicating by being like, Luke Chambers, not such a bad guy, really. His brother, the misogynist, stand-up guy, it turns out, after all. You know, like, what are we doing here?
It's like the pitch for this season was like, here's what season one had too much of. Social importance. Mm-hmm. Kick that all out. We're going to wave our hand at a little bit of it, but mm-hmm. not really get into it at all. Yeah.
So
I mean, how much value has there been to the girls had to deal with the fact that she was filmed without her knowledge having sex and that tape was shared to the world? I mean, like, other than talking about her fucking like scholarship, how much have we actually dealt with that?
Not at all. Like, no real, like, I mean, they like briefly hinted that like, oh, they'd get like mean prank phone calls. But other than that, not much, really. No reflection on that.
Well, like,
no,
not even
no
like
sense of like, I feel violated. Like,
yeah, there's nothing.
There's the one scene where she's like, oh, I don't want to have sex in the cabin anymore. But like, that was it, really.
And then Luke's just like, oh,
man.
Oh,
fucking buzzkill.
What? Man. Oh, I got to get my rocks off, babe. Come on. It'll never happen again. Plus, trust me, I have insider knowledge. Yeah, it's also she hung this thing crooked.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, back at her house, she's on AIM. She codes 82. She keeps chatting Luke, apparently, like, oh, we should talk. Please call me. Are you okay? I'm getting worried. Just let me know you're okay. This isn't funny. At least message me back. Luke, just like let me know you're okay.
Everyone has a screen name except for Emily, Brent, and Paul. Whoever Paul is, he's away.
There's like a Chumba Thumpa Chatham Beast. I don't know what that's supposed to read. Yeah. Film Fan 75. I guess that's Jeff.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Jeff's going to have
Singer Supreme, I think, is Parker because of that whole like music thing you're talking about.
Yeah. But whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, anyway, they bought my album. Bye bye. Yeah.
So Megan's just kind of sulking here. And when Isabel comes in, Isabel's like wearing like this really bizarre outfit of like kind of white sweater and white sweatpants. I don't know.
It looks comfortable.
It looks like she's called in sick to work kind of look.
You know? She's called in sick to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Megan keeps thinking about the pills and that they shouldn't have added the other one. It was too much. That was the one that was too far. And like Isabella is just like, hey, don't twist this. We did it together. Isabella, for all of her manipulative stuff, she really isn't trying too hard here.
No, I mean, would it have been more interesting if they did both kill him and are now trying to cover it up? Like, at least like a, you know, like a Wild Things ish, you know, we are in this together. Only one who can fuck this up is us.
Well, like, I think about like Hitchcock, the start of his career was all with these like wrong man movies. And then I think where he became genius was you had a lot of the like, well, I didn't commit the crime, but I actually wanted to. And I think they're walking that back off Megan because they don't want Megan to, they want her to be blameless.
Well, because Megan's like, I can't believe I let you talk me into this. Like, and Isabel's just like, look, we just need to focus on covering our tracks, not waste time arguing about who did what. And Megan's like, right, you're famous, put in the rear view strategy. She's like, what's that about? She's like, just be real. It's an excuse for you to never not take responsibility for anything ever.
It worked for Don Draper, Megan.
Yeah. Isabel says, none of this would have happened if Luke wasn't such an asshole, just like the rest of his family.
I'm just saying, they could have written Isabella like a little better. With like verbally manipulating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's not convincing or anything, really.
Like, she could have stepped forward and been like, Megan, it will shock you how much this didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Megan's like, oh, Luke's not like the rest of his family. And Isabel's like, he's exactly like them. Like, why does she hate them so much now? Also, I saw some people on Reddit had this theory that like Isabella was like hooking up with Brent at some point in the interim, which is like why her bathing suit was there and stuff like that. And like, I don't know. I feel like that still comes to nothing. Like,
why?
Maybe that was a plot line that got cut or something.
I just don't see any value to Brent whatsoever. You know what I mean? It's not like, I just don't see that you could even spin a like, yeah, he's a misogynistic dirtbag, but he fucks good. I don't get that vibe from Brent at all.
But he's actually kind of a nice guy. You know, he's just wounded because his mom died.
But it's like they shoved in that scene about Brent like sexually harassing her at the car wash and then had Steve come and absolve him just so that Isabella would have something to hang on to. Like, oh, they're all like this.
Yeah.
You're such an expert in relationships, she says. Even though you never seem to have one because they keep dying on you.
Mm-hmm. She's like, how dare you? Before I came here, you lived a sad, boring life, chained to your computer and your stupid rules. I pushed you out of your comfort zone, showed you a whole new world. And Megan says, you pushed me past my breaking point. And now here I am. Maybe I'm an accessory to murder. And then Isabel's like, you ungrateful little bitch. I'm sorry. What is she supposed to be grateful for?
Yeah.
Like, as she just said, she could be an accessory to murder. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
You're the most selfish person I've ever met. Okay. Says the narcissist.
Do you think that, like, there was, like, a pseudo, like, Fight Club influence on this? Like, is Isabella going to be like, I look how you want to look, I fuck how you want to fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I came up with a plan to help you, you know, because you wanted to get back at Luke, not me. I did that for you, basically, is what she's saying. And then Megan rightly says, no, you did all this because you're addicted to drama, and I should have talked to him. I never should have brought you into this. True. He would still be here. Just like, yeah, treating you like garbage.
Well, she has a point.
Yeah.
Like, they could have done more with the clothes, I think. And, like, Megan becoming this better person outside of herself because of Isabella's influence.
Yeah, and then Megan says, Luke was right. You're only happy when I'm miserable. Well, congratulations. You got what you wanted. I wish I'd never met you. She storms off, and Isabella does that look she does where she just kind of stares blankly, and we're kind of meant to project some sort of emotion onto her face. I guess she's just annoyed.
You would have thought that Megan would have walked back in and been like, this is my room.
Yeah, excuse me. You get out. Yeah. I'm going to go back to my AIM session.
Yeah. So summer 2000, after the commercial, we're in the police station. It's August 2nd, 2000.
I know that they're running the whole thing where it's like Steve is running a cover up and whatnot. But like, would you really be this far up the sheriff's ass? I mean, maybe. I feel like you're playing with fire.
Yes. Well, but see, the Chambers charm, I guess, or like he just doesn't think he can get caught. Or this scene cracks me up because he's going to basically walk in and tell the sheriff he's not doing enough. He needs answers. He needs this. And the sheriff's just going to say like, oh, we've got the footage from Ned Fonts. Someday, one of these days, who knows? I don't know when, but before the end of this episode,
we're decrypting it.
Theoretically, we're going to look through the footage.
He says, I got my tech guy on it.
But then, like, Steve is just like, wow, you must really be desperate if you're relying on Ned Fonts. It's like, you just told him to be desperate.
Yeah, I don't. Whatever.
Play this like you've got a little game, Steve Chambers.
I mean, I guess, is Steve worried he's on the tape? Somehow, I don't know.
Half the fucking town is on this tape.
Yeah. So my tech is trying to crack the code. Look, if there's anything of value on the tapes, you'll be the first to know. And so he's just like, okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah, because I guess he's just basically like, could you just arrest somebody today? Like, I don't really care who. Just like someone who's like not me or my son. Could you just arrest anybody? So how about that guy? How about that plant?
Back at the Landry house.
How about Debbie?
Megan comes downstairs. And she picks up, we get a close shot on the keys with the little floaty thing. Remember how he thought that was going to mean something? It never did.
But look at the pants he's wearing.
Oh, shit. Out of the basement.
Look at Brett's pants.
I didn't catch this until now. Did you see the book?
Oh, it's the Kate Wallace story, right?
Out of the Basement, the Kate Wallace story, which is just like cruel to remind us. It's a very cruel summer way of reminding us of the better show. By the way, it's not summer anymore. It's fall.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, not technically. Not the September 21st.
It's September 24th.
Oh, is it here?
In real life it is.
Oh yeah, here, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's cruel autumn now. It's what her name at the end that JGL talks at the end of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Can I read you the back jacket copy here?
It's a whole new 500 days. Yeah.
Let's see. On the surface, Jeanette Turner and Kate Wallace couldn't have been more different from one another. The awkward girl who longs to be popular and the other being the supposed queen bee. When Kate mysteriously vanishes, Jeanette transforms into the missing girl's shoes. To fill the missing girl's shoes. Assuming the life of a popular kid. A year later, Kate is found to be a kidnapping victim, and she accuses Jeanette of allowing her to remain a captive in order to return to remain in the limelight. Out of the Basement is a shocking tale of secrets and lies, suffering and the betrayal told by a young woman who also survived to tell her own story.
Brent's like, somebody should option that, make it into a TV show.
It would be better than this one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Here's the other thing with Brent. Like, if he was the secret guilty party this whole time, or at least thinks he is, shouldn't he have gotten some sort of weird makeover? Like, he went a little more goth or something. Instead, he looks like he's going to church. He's wearing a button-up shirt tucked into slacks, like pleated slacks. Like, what is this?
Oh, I think he's doing like your Stanford, whatever that guy was, the sport he played.
Branson?
No,
Brock Turner? Was that his
Brock,
name?
He's doing like a Brock Turner, yeah. Where he's got to look like, oh, but Your Honor, wouldn't setting this young man away for rape just like really rob him of the precious future he's going to blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Jerk off motion. Yeah, like, I don't know. I just couldn't get over how his pants are almost half modern day teenage girl, half like David Byrne.
They're pleated. You know, that's all you got to say. Guys, don't wear pleated pants. Anyway, so he walks in and Meg's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I just needed to see a normal person. And she's like, let me know when you find one. I'm Trinity, bitch.
Well, I got to say, this is the hottest she's looked in this era.
Sure.
I mean, it's not saying much because she's still got that disgusting sewage in her hair or whatever the fuck.
So he says, I saw your mom at the office earlier and she looks a lot better. And Kate says,
she's like licking wallpaper.
Megan says she's in remission. It's like, okay, I guess that was that whole plot line. Also, is she still dating Steve this whole time?
Or working for him?
Yeah.
Does she just show up at the office and like squat down and pee in the plants? And then they're just like, oh, Debbie, you don't work here anymore, hon. You should go. And she's like, okay.
I don't know. So anyways, he's like, oh, that's great news. Heard the sheriff brought you and Isabella back in. She's like, yeah, he thinks we colluded, that we killed Luke together. And he's like, what? Where did he get that idea? And she's like, no clue. But we didn't, and he didn't have any evidence, so he can't charge us. And he's like, oh, good. That's great. Like, this is very much like, if you've never seen a TV show before, maybe you're fooled at this point, but like, everyone should know, you know.
But you saw the whole beginning scene.
Yeah, I know,
and
exactly.
Then you saw the scene after where the dad is like, don't worry, son, you're not going to go down for this. And so like, there's
oh, no... my lawyer quit because he wants to get paid and I'm out of money.
There's
he's like,
no
oh, sorry.
Paired attention here.
No, it's like, what's the point of this?
I mean, you're almost better off having moved the cliffhanger from last week to the start of this one and just end it with, we don't know who showed up.
I mean, is it interesting to be like, this guy's a huge, like, misogynistic piece of shit, but he actually has a heart of gold. Like, what, like, I don't know. It's a weird mix that they're trying to accomplish here.
Is it a heart of gold, or is it like those things whenever you see the news report about, like, oh, this cop who, like, raped 5 women actually got, like, found guilty, and then he's just weeping in court? And it's like, I love those shots now. Oh, now you feel bad?
You watching a lot of the evening news over there?
Apparently. I get the internet. They show me things. Mm-hmm. Like, it comes to my house like a newspaper. But like, the episode is not from Brent's point of view. So like, we really can't feel like Brent's guilt and, oh no, my friend Megan is like going to go down. You know, like, it's not enough from his point of view.
What is the tension in this scene? Like,
yes,
are we wondering, oh, is he going to reveal himself or something? Yeah, it's just kind of like, it's expositional, I guess you could say. We kind of find out the current state of things and everything.
And this is not a romance, but they have the closest you're going to get to on this show, mm-hmm. where these two are looking at each other. I mean, he's just like, oh, you're the only one who ever tells the truth around here.
And she's like, someone has to.
The
thing with Luke feels like a bad dream that just never ends, you know? And she's like, yeah, for me too. And then there's like a weird cut here where he cut to Megan walking into Isabella's hotel room, and she's like, I can't believe that actually worked. That was such a good strategy, both of us accusing the other. And this is a weird cut to make after that scene with Brent, because it makes it seem as though Brent, her conversation with Brent was like part of the con or something, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
So I think this is supposed to play as some sort of reveal where it's like, oh, they've been in on it together the whole time, but eh. Like it's been so muddled, and there've been like 50 million scenes of them being interviewed by the cops that like it just doesn't seem like nothing seemed out of place or anything. There was, you know, it's not a reveal really. Like they've been behaving rationally the whole time anyway.
Well, I think it's that they've been on the same page for the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because they had that one scene in the hotel room here. Also, she's like, Isabella mentions, like, my lawyer's waiting. You know, I don't know if this is going to work out because my lawyer's still waiting to get my passport back. And, man, imagine you're that actor and you're like, hello, I showed up. I've got this great British accent. What are you doing with me on this show? I'm not even in the finale. I know you don't honestly have...
The lawyer is a waste.
Danny Elfman.
Because the lawyer... basically confirms that Isabella is who she says she is, which kind of ruins the mystery about her.
Yeah.
Like this really should be a question. Like if we know she actually is a diplomat's daughter and like that's confirmed, that makes it her less compelling as a suspect.
I still say you could have done something fascinating where she was never the real Isabella. Like she was Lisa, and like, sure, the lawyer keeps meeting her after these incidents, but she's never met her.
Picture of her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Isabella's just like, you know, this is temporary. Once they watch Ned's footage, she's leaving the cabin at 3 a.m. on New Year's. We're going to be fucked.
Yeah. So she's like, Megan's like, we haven't looked at the full picture. Footage doesn't just incriminate us. It also show who actually killed Luke. So the sheriff does.
The absolute stretch here, Isabella says, right. So we have to get it before the sheriff does. Why? If the footage is going to reveal the real killer, what's it like? Who cares?
Good. Like, go to the sheriff and be like, can I help you encrypt it, decrypt it faster? I'm
a hacker. I can help you.
Hacker prodigy.
Yeah, this is like, such a weird logical leap. Now, you could say it's like, oh, because Isabella is secretly the killer the whole time. But like, I don't think the show is really doing that because Megan is like, that's such a great point. We need to go get that footage, you know, and like hack into it. It's like, no, that makes no sense at all.
Yeah. What are you going to do with it? Like teenage arrest?
Yeah.
But yeah, go to the sheriff and be like, I'm kind of the Anakin Skywalker of hacking.
Actually, I think it's actually Megan who says we have to get it before the sheriff does, which makes even less sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it would make sense for Isabella to say it. So let's have Megan say it.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, cut to the urgency of the police station where Deputy Hal Hardwick is pouring himself a cup of coffee. And we pan over to a screen where there's like solitaire going. And we see that the girls have controlled the screen remotely.
They're like remote accessed in. Isabella's like, do they have any clear there? And she's like, not if they cover my tracks. And I think this is Isabella who says, I never thought I'd say this, but it's kind of hot. Like, okay.
Lick her neck while she does it. Why don't you? But like, all you have to do is the person go and sit at the computer and be like, why is the mouse moving on its own? And that's not really covering your fucking tracks.
So they're in a folder called Evidence. And then she opens the folder marked Road and scrolls down to the last one on July 31st, 99. I don't know why it's not September 1st, but what, or January 1st. And so they watch it and they're like, oh, there's video of me. That was when I dropped you off and went back to the party. And then here's we are coming back. And then here we are leaving.
This is dumb. But like, why not do a thing where you're like, boop, 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 boop. I've done a hack or whatever for some reason. And that thing we were all afraid of happening on January 1st, 2000 happened. And all the time codes are fucked. Oh, yeah. And all this footage is unusable or something.
Also, this is the internet in 2000, summer 2000. She's just like pulling full video over the internet. I'm sorry. Like that was back in the day when it's like, oh, the new episode one trailer's out. I'm going to start downloading it. Go get some food from the dining hall and come back and it'll be like a quarter of the way downloaded. You know, like it was not that fast, man.
Some people had QuickTime. They were lucky ones. Some people had RealPlayer, which was bullshit. RealPlayer was fucking trash.
So she's like, oh, hang on. Winamp. Here's another car coming, and it's Steve Chambers' car. Okay.
Yeah. I think I saw something. Also, she's apparently going so fast that she can't initially make out the car.
Mm-hmm.
So Isabel has to be like, oh, rewind. I think I saw something. It's like, okay, you're doing this badly. How did you even see your car in the first place? All
this over like dial-up internet or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's C's car. So the next scene is them storming into Steve Chambers' office. Brent is there for some reason. Like he's like messing with like the cabinet, the keys to the properties. I don't know why he's there.
So 100%, whoever this is, they just filmed this upstairs from the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Set or location, right?
Yeah, probably.
You got the same fucking metal banister. Yeah.
So they walk into C's office and Megan's like, we need to talk to you. And the secretary is like, I'm sorry, Mr. Chambers. They just stormed in. Like, it's okay. It's okay. I got this. And what are you doing? And she's like, well, you've been lying for months about the night Luke disappeared. Spell's saying this. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. C says,
you need to watch your tone, young lady.
She's like, how dare you tone police me?
Also, I think it's criminal that nobody knocks over that fucking model.
I know. It's just sitting there the whole time.
It's just, I mean, I know the North, especially since the Northland deal is not happening now. Just trash that thing. So they're like, we saw your car on the road on net security camera footage. And Brent's outside the office, like listening. I remember us talking to Joseph Doherty once about like, what is something you never, ever want to do on PLL? Mm-hmm. And he was like, convenient eavesdropping. Mm-hmm. It's the most disgusting crux that you could
have done that a couple times on the show.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, who could back you up? And he's like, I don't have to explain myself to you. As Brent like seemingly leaves, but he's not leaving. And he's like, well, since we're lodging accusations, my investigator had some very enlightening conversation. Trevor Cole about you. Sorry, I'm looking at the subtitles.
Yeah, I remember Trevor Cole. And Spell's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, assumes your friends have a habit of dying. Might want to watch your back, Megan.
He's like, hold on, let's do that again. I could have even less energy, as I say.
And he just turns around to go back to his, like, I don't know, filing or whatever he's doing. And so they're just like, well, we'll see what the sheriff has to say about that when he watches the footage. We just got owned by this guy.
He's like, fuck, those teenage girls got close. Mm-hmm.
So they go out and get in the car.
Oh, so they're outside his office. Yeah, not the sheriff's station.
Yeah, so they go out and get in the car. And they're like, oh, if that's not Steve on the tape, who could it be? We're screwed.
Seriously, yeah. Who else could it be, ladies? Who else could it be
Isabella's, Steve's car? Like, we should hold off on talking to the sheriff until we're sure that it's Steve, like, or it could be Brent. I mean, I don't know. You guys fucking idiots. And Megan's like, wait, why wouldn't we talk to the sheriff? And Isabella's like, we know that there's footage of us. We don't want it to blow up in our face. Sure. Yeah.
She's like, oh, the last few days have felt like old times.
I never got a do-over with Lisa, but I'd like to have one with you. And Megan's like, bitch, are you for real? What are you talking about? You talk about our friendship like it was this once-in-a-lifetime magical thing, but all I can see is the wreckage that came from it. And Isabella's like, you're choosing to see it that way. You could be a crazy person like me. Isabella's like, no, that's not how, you know, that I'm seeing it how it was. These last few days, that was us being in the trenches together. That's desperation, not friendship. Isabella just looks very bitter and just like, I'm certainly not going to learn it from you. But you would know loyalty if it bit you in the ass. And she's like, I'll see myself out.
Yeah, she's going to walk home from wherever they are. Meanwhile, Brenton is like dad's office. And he's like, it's over. They're taking me down. They're going to take me to prison and blah, blah, blah. My pants keep getting bigger, dad.
And swimming like, in them.
Yes, look at this shot of his pants. He's got like these.
Okay, no, Chambers is going to jail on my watch.
Also, like, can you wear some tailored pants, whatever? We're Chambers men, son.
Chambers men don't wear pleats. Get the fuck out of here. Can we go back real quick to the loyalty thing? Like,
yeah.
If they'd ever done anything at all to, like, I don't know, go into the loyalty thing and why that's so important to Isabella, other than that she's just a psychopath and she's manipulative, I don't know. It feels like that needed to be more.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we've talked about the one thread that's been throughout this is that she does talk like she's constantly gaslighting or she's abusing or she's whatever. You're just missing, like from season one, the character who comes in is like, by the way, Megan, this is the way she talks to you. And this is like how it's coded and this is why it's bad. And you're not getting that. But then also Luke is doing the same thing to you sometimes or whatever. Yeah. So Steve's like, yeah, no, Chambers going to jail on my watch.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself. It's not helping anybody. It's certainly not going to bring your brother back. You need to figure out a way to pull yourself together, little bitch.
What we needed was the Katie Holmes where he slaps him one time and then slaps him a second time. I'll never forget being in the theater for Batman Begins. And like the first slap, you hear that one woman is like, ooh! And then she slaps him again and you're, woo!
Begged like a dog. You see, you always fear, but you don't understand, kid.
That fucking accent they have him do. And he does it.
I fucking love that full scene. Throat. You come down here with your fucking anger.
Hey, nice coat.
Let's just go watch that.
Yeah. So everyone, we're just going to meet back here, talk about Batman Begins and Past Lives. Weird double feature, but we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. So Megan's reading the Chatham Daily Register online. There's a story about the unsolved mystery from July 26th there.
She's just sitting on her laptop in her like well-lit room.
On the reading radio.
The news on her laptop.
On the radio, there is then another news report about it, how like new evidence has come forward and arrest may be imminent. Dun dun dun. An official statement from the sheriff's department is expected.
So she gets up. There's no cord. There's no cord.
Yeah.
Did we have a lot of Wi-Fi back then?
In theory, yeah, it would have just been introduced. No, didn't we see her computer? She's got an Apple laptop. Although I know this is a different one now. This isn't the same one.
She had that laptop at the bar or whatever. Remember that fucking bar? Remember that fucking creepy boss?
What was the point of that? So anyway,
she runs to the
hotel room to see Isabella, and the maids clean the sheets because Isabella's gone. She fucking skipped town.
Yeah. Here we go. Big bold purple shot.
Oh yeah. This is the real like Scorsese bringing out the dead shot here.
Scorsese did it. Midsommar did it. Mm-hmm. It's the upside down shot of the car coming towards us, and we track it. And as it goes past us, we go upside right ways and follow.
I'm trying to remember if we have this in Zodiac or not. I feel like there's a similar one, but not exactly the same.
There's some crazy car stuff
mm-hmm. in Zodiac.
Yeah. Because Fincher loves to do a thing where he picks one character and that character's moving, the camera moves with them. There's
not
like over the head.
People in California have basements.
Yeah. Well, there's a crazy like car making a right turn shot where the camera falls overhead.
Locked on the car. Yeah, it's a super cool shot.
But like we're like way high up. Yeah. Anyway, so she's driving in her shitty car, looking upset. The sheriff is pulling up behind her.
She gets pulled over by the sheriff. The sheriff just gets out and comes over, and he's just like, "It's not why." She's like, "Oh, and speed." He's like, "It's not why I pulled you over. Came into my possession. Needs to come in, answer some questions about it." And she's like, "I don't have a lawyer anymore." He's like, "I don't give a shit. I'll follow you to the station."
I would love for him to be like, "Also, your taillight's out." He kicks out a taillight.
She's like, "No, it isn't." He like gets out the billy club and just like knocks it out, writes her a ticket. It's like, "Sorry, I got to up my quota this month." Yeah, Seahawks just haven't been covering the way they normally do.
Also, my turns out I have a stepdaughter. Just found out. That's pricey.
She needs braces.
Yeah. Also, she's got like a recording contract. I guess I'm paying for that somehow. That's a scam.
All right. So he takes her into the investigation room again. He's going to have her watch a video.
She's now sitting where he usually sits to watch that little TV cart they used to wheel out in your classroom.
On this video, it's like, there's all this static, and then it's like a shot of Megan with the gun and Luke shouting, "You shot me, you crazy bitch. Oh my God, you could have killed me." And Megan says, "Oh my God, that's real bleeding." And Megan's like, "Wait, that's not how it went down. Isabella's right next to me. Like, who shot the gun? Blah, blah." And I guess that was the whole tape, because he's like, "I didn't see her on the tape." And so it's like, what do you have, like 2 seconds of footage or something? It was like the only footage you got.
Yeah. How did Isabella with her technical savvy,
it points to Jeff, but obviously Jeff didn't have anything to do with it, so it's kind of like whatever.
So how did Isabella with her technical savvy doctor the tape? You know what I'm not gonna miss is that fucking no smoking sign.
Yeah. So anyways, there's a very slow, like, you have the right to remain silent, like she's protesting the whole time, you don't understand, it was Isabella, yeah, I'm charging with the murder of Luke Chambers, wait, how, blah blah. It's a back and forth, whatever. She gets her Miranda rights read. You have to believe me. He's just like, whatever.
This guy even looks cool reading Miranda rights. Mm-hmm. Oh, so here's a dumb question about cops.
Mm-hmm.
Is the handcuffs absolutely like essential to the arresting process?
I don't believe so.
Like, I know they always do that to signify like, that.
I feel like
TV
they
shows
didn't like put the bracelets on Trump, probably, even though they could have.
Yeah. But I mean, like, she's in the interrogation room.
Yeah.
You're gonna walk her to get fingerprinted. Like you don't need to take her that far. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need the handcuffs. So back at the Chambers Business Center, where Brent's pants are even bigger, more shapeless. There's not even a hint of ass in these pants. So he's like sitting there as his dad's on the phone in a different living room.
The locations in this show upset me. It's just like they just charged Megan Landry with Luke's murder.
He's like, Brent's like, no, no, no way.
She didn't do anything. She didn't do anything. I mean, we have to stop this. We cannot pin it on her. Apparently there's videotape of Megan holding a gun on Luke.
Even though everyone knows that's not what killed him.
Mm-hmm. But she didn't kill him. I did, he says, which I feel like is a writing mistake there.
Yeah.
He should, well, I feel like I'd rather leave that vague. He should just say, but she didn't kill him.
Especially if you're going to cut off the actual end of that scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your ticket out, right? You'll put this behind you forever now. This is over.
Yeah, by destroying an innocent person's life. And like Steve does this thing where he's just like, oh, I'm tired of hearing about that.
We've known her forever. She's like family.
She's not Chambers.
Luke wouldn't have wanted this. Well, it's not my first choice either, but what are you going to do?
He's like, I've tried to blame it on every other dumb patsy in this town. Look where that got me. Yeah. I couldn't even get Ned Funtz arrested.
How could you do this to her? How could you do this to Debbie? That's not fair. He's like, fair, fair. Grow up. That's not how life works.
He's like, Debbie? Oh, right. Debbie.
I really need to break up with her.
He's like, I guess we technically haven't had the talk.
You know, Brent, a little gratitude wouldn't kill you. And Brent just looks like he's about to cry. And he's like, this is a nightly accident. Was mom drinking?
This is all out of nowhere.
We'd never said in the past that it was like Luke's fault or anything. Like at one point they like mentioned that Luke was in the car. And so you're kind of like, okay, I guess he was fine in the accident. But like we've never really heard that this was any sort of big deal other than that one line in the last episode where Luke is like, I'm tired of keeping your secrets or something, you know, like,
yeah. Like why weren't you driving? Yeah, it should have been you driving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Brent wants to know, is mom drinking? And his dad's like, what is this? And he's like, I'm just trying to understand, you know,
so, yada, yada, yada. The mom was drinking, but she was gone. So Steve didn't want her remembered that way. Scandals like that aren't good for anybody, especially Chambers.
So you've swept it under the rug and blamed it on your other kid. Yeah. What else do to protect our family? And so it's like, it's extremely clear by now that like, well, Brent is not going to go along with this. Like he looks like he's about to cry. He's just learned the truth from his dad about, you know, something with the mother. Like you'd have to be a complete idiot to like not see where this is going.
Right. But like, I'm starting to think the one that comes to my mind the most is when Steve has that conversation with Luke about the Delta Sierras,
right?
He could have like dropped something then. And he's just like, "You're a smart kid, even though you killed your mom," you know, like or something. So yeah, we got to Megan in the interrogation room. I guess she's just been left there of handcuffs, or she's talking to somebody, and so Brent shows up.
Or just like, sorry to cut in, but like, if it's been public knowledge that it was Luke's fault that his mom died this whole time, like, shouldn't that have been part of his character?
Well, I guess not public knowledge, but like that's been the inner family lore.
It seems like that's what he told the public, though, because he needed to like not have the mom look bad, right? Like, so yeah. He must have told the public. I don't know. It's weird that like that was seemingly out there the whole time.
Yeah, it's a little nebulous in a weird way, because that would make your kid look bad, your living kid look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Megan's actually here waiting for her public defender when Brent walks in, because she's like, unless you have magic public defender, I don't think you're allowed in here. And Brent sits down across from her and he's like, oh, the sheriff agreed to give me 5 minutes. So I mean, this is all done for like the flash of the TV show and the reveal here, but presumably he's confessed to the sheriff.
I think so. Unless he's like, hey, sheriff, I have something really important. You're going to get it on your camera here, but can I just go in and tell it to Megan?
And the sheriff's like, that's not really how we work.
I like where this is going. Why don't you? Like, I'm going to let you cook.
He's like, Brent, here's the thing, a lot of people don't know about me. I like showmanship. And Brent's like, I'll speak your language, sheriff. I'll bet you $100 you're going to want to watch what I'm going to do here. Yeah.
Brent's like, what's the juice? What's the vic? What are we talking about here? You give me like, give me money on that? It's like +140 or...
I'm gonna bet you $150 that you're gonna have an even better suspect in a moment. Yeah. So he's going to like just like monologue to Megan across this table.
Luke paged me that night. We argued and we started a fight. Then he fell in the water. It was so dark I couldn't find him. And then we cut to the flashback. Like, I don't know why. It should have just been like, Luke paged me that night. What? And then like panned to the TV to like learn what happened, right? Because yeah. He tells us what happened, and then we watch it happen. So it's kind of like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Megan's also, like, I don't understand. What are you saying?
Some real close-ups here.
Yeah. So we go back to that same scene again where Luke says, I didn't think you'd come. It's like the third time we've seen this now. Says, my public service of the year helps him up, blah, blah, blah. What happened to your ear? It's like, oh, Megan and Isabella, they caught me in a bunch of lies. I've done some bad shit, man. I ruined everything with Megan. And then, so then they have to have the, like, you know, the conflict. And Brent is like, you are so whipped.
It's like, no, I'm not. I'm just not like you. He's like, do you think you're better than me?
Real Bostonian there. You think you're better than me?
I thought I was.
Turns out I'm a piece of shit too.
But now I have a sex tape like you. Also, it gets real muddled here too about which tape they thought they were playing. I lie to make myself better like dad.
I thought playing the sex tape at the party was going to be my ticket out, but it backfired. Oh. Okay, so let's examine this. Why would it be his ticket out if he thought because he was playing one of Brent's sex tapes?
I don't know, because like, if it's playing his own, it's like, okay, my dad has to disown me now.
Yeah, it's like I'm burning my own reputation to free me from this family. That makes sense. It's stupid, but sure. But if he thought he was playing Brent's tape, why would that be his ticket out?
What's the line in Andor? I burned my life! What does he say for that, after that?
To see for a sunset or a sunrise I know I'll never see or something like that, yeah.
Watch that monologue again. Mm-hmm. Also, like, real actorly.
Sacrificed everything.
Real actorly, where he's just like gonna like take a few steps back and turn around and like talk to the ocean. Like it's like I want Brent to be like, hey Hamlet, yeah. Conversation's over here. It's facing me.
Have you ever been in a conversation with like a real person where they turn around and monologue like facing away from you?
I always laugh when we were watching Perfectionists and they would just constantly do that.
So Brent was like, wait, that was you? And he's just laughing. Like he's not hostile enough, you know? Like, I don't know. He just thinks this is all funny. He's like, I thought that was one of yours, but I grabbed the wrong tape. So, okay, so whose room was it? Was he either going to his own room? So he's going to Brent's room. Brent had the tape? Like, did he loan the tape to Brent? Why did Brent have the tape?
Why did Brent have the tape? But like,
maybe Brent found the tape and took it into his own room and was like jerking off to it or something. I don't know.
Brent's like, here's a little fun fact about me I learned when making sex tapes. It turns out I've got a VHS fetish. Not so much a sex tape fetish, but if it's on a VHS tape, I see those tracking lines, I see the FBI warning, I just get uncontrollably hard. You know, like the fucking sports poster or whatever it was, or the girl poster, whatever it was. That's when I was like, okay, this isn't Luke's room.
So if it's
room,
it's Brent's room, but Luke's tape is in there, I guess we can only assume that Brent found Luke's tape somehow and took it to his room and it like to or, watch at some point.
Or Luke stashed it with Brent's tapes to incriminate Brent in the future.
That doesn't really make sense, but sure. Yeah.
It's a bunch of layers that like make no sense.
But wouldn't you know your tape was in there then? You know? Yeah. I don't know.
So that you could grab the wrong one.
Yeah.
Like, but like if you go and put on like a tape of like Brent and Parker fucking, how is that your ticket out?
Yeah, no, it's not. Like there, it's all way too sloppy. Like you needed to do more. You know, I don't want to like spoil potentially the ending of Veronica Mars season one in case anyone hasn't watched it because it's excellent. But like, there's stuff regarding tapes in that is done much more intelligently, and like it all makes sense and adds up, and it's like a really cool mystery. This is not that.
No. Oh, it's shot like in any moment now. Brent's gonna ignite a red lightsaber.
Yeah.
And like go after Luke.
Brent's like, wow, you backstabbing little shit, huh? Like, you're such a loser, you can't even self-destruct without screwing it up.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Yeah.
So like Luke can't handle this.
And you're a piece of shit. He's like, hey, careful. You and dad, you lie and you bully and you get away with everything. And I'm sick of it. Sorry, this is Luke saying that, not Brent. I should have been doing a voice.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, I've been doing it since I was 8 years old, Brent, and I'm done. Here comes the sob story. I'm done staying quiet. So it's like, okay, we're speaking to a whole dramatic thing that's not been established in text.
Lying about mom, about the accident. And Brent's like, what are you talking about? This hasn't been a thing yet this season. Like, is this a plot point? I didn't realize I was supposed to be playing it that way.
Yeah, seriously. I was sitting in the back seat, Brent, so that mom could have the wine coolers on the passenger seat next to her. It's like, what's happening here? Like, I don't. Yeah, what the hell are you talking about?
She was drunk. Her iced tea was straight up vodka. And Brent's just like, shut up. And he's like, it was your fault. You killed her. This is bullshit. And he's like, you know, it's not true. And Brent says, shut up again. And he pushes him. And this is kind of like one of the most hilarious shots in the episode because Luke falls back, bonks his head on like the metal like ladder up from the dock and just rolls right off into the water. And like, bloop.
Yeah. But they do the good. It's the points of sound effects. You got the pong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and then like Brent just
watching the bubbles and Brent's like, Brent just, it's cold. I want a jet. Like he can hear him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like talking to the water as he just stares at the inky black water for a while.
Yeah. And after like maybe 10 seconds, he dies in. Cause it's like, I don't know. Like we're clearly, we want to say, hey, this is that deep down. Brent is a good guy, even though he spent half the season being like, what a fucking gross piece of shit this guy is. So like, what are we trying to say here? He's just a red herring, I guess. We wanted to fool you into thinking he's a bad guy, but he's actually not, or something.
He's just a guy who's got uneven sideburns on his face.
Yeah.
So he dives in. He's under the water for 2 seconds, and he pops up like, Luke. We pan back down in the water and pull out of the inky blackness from the black mirror of the screen.
So where was Luke? Because you die if you stay underwater for too long, you know? So, you know, if they
under the dock,
if they had done a move and this could have worked early in the season where it's like Luke and Megan are hanging out on the dock and like he does like the old, like maybe they have like some game where they're playing Marco Polo and he hides under the dock. No, where it's like, oh, he hides under the dock and this is like their his like favorite trick or whatever. And then you're like, oh, shit. And then you're wondering, is he still alive? Like, what happened? But no, it's like, well, seemingly he'd be dead there, huh? You know?
Yeah, so we pan back in the interrogation room where Megan has just heard this story. She's like, oh my God, it was an accident. And Brent's like, no, it's my fault.
Yeah, my dad tried to cover it up. He wanted to blame on somebody else.
Here's a profile shot where clearly they shaved one of my sideburns that they didn't do on the other side. And I just have to live with that.
Yeah, wanted to blame Ned or Isabella. It didn't matter. You know, he just wanted to take the heat off me. Like, I realize that it's like, okay, well, Steve Chambers is like a dumb asshole. And he's like, sure, it makes sense for him to try to cover this up. But like, with the good lawyer, if you had just gone to the cops and been like, hey, there was an accident and like kid fell in, no one's going to jail over this. It'd just be a horrible tragedy. You're not even doing community service, you know?
But I do believe that like, that's not going to look good for like the public portfolio he's put out about the Chambers way. Meanwhile, the sheriff is just like watching all this on the monitors. Like, this is riveting.
No, I hope I'm recording this.
Did he legitimately not know what Brett was going to say when he walked into that room? I feel like that's what this is saying.
Well, randomly, Megan is just like, you put the money in the cabin. And he's like, yep, that ties up that plot line.
I wanted to be like, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're wrapping this thing up, but sure. That's what I did 9.5 minutes to the end of this thing. Anyway, I'm going to get up now because I'm sure that there are some bracelets waiting for me outside. Look how big my pants are.
So he's like, no one is supposed to, you know, get hurt. It would go away unsolved. And the sheriff's just like, man, I've really been fucking up this whole case. I guess my mind is elsewhere, like on the Mariners. Actually, I guess the Sonics would still be there then, yeah. He's like, why are you telling me all this now? And so he's just like, I'm going to get up. Yeah, you're not going to take the fall for this. I really wanted to do like suicide by cop here or something, but that didn't happen.
But like, okay, so what are we're doing here? We've shown that there are two gross dudes who like fit into normal society and we've redeemed them both at the end.
Well, and then he says, Luke really loved you. And you're like, okay, like it was all just peer pressure making him be a piece of shit or something. Like he had his reasons for recording and then leaking a sex tape of you and then like talking at school about what a hoe you are and how he's going to like have threesomes and what, like, I don't, like, it's just so weird. Like you thought that this was a good direction for your characters to go in.
Well, like Is there a message, like a post-Trump locker room talk message here? Wow, you really drank that whole jar of piss.
I'm working on it, man. I got to pee like a motherfucker.
Yeah, so, but would it have been better if the sheriff was the one who had the relationship, or the sheriff had a relationship with Brent rather than Luke?
I don't, none of this would have been better. It's ill-conceived from the start, really.
Yeah, but we got this great shot where he's just like, brave face. I'm so sorry, Magnus. He's like in the hallway getting arrested by the sheriff. And the sheriff's like, I don't actually need his handcuffs. I'm just going to walk you next door.
Yeah. And then Magnus just like, wow.
She's like, well, that was a freebie.
And then we get this shot. It's like dial tone. There's the door buzzing. It's all at the chambers, Casa Chambers here. There's sirens wailing in the background. Like, he's in the dark in the living room, and like the sirens start to flash outside. I wanted him to kill himself now. Just like pull out the old revolver and eat it.
Yeah.
But no, that doesn't happen either.
Well, okay, clearly they loved everything he was doing, like on this show. Like,
I don't understand why anyone would love it, but yeah.
But this whole
maybe sequence, he's really cool, like between takes. He's just like fucking like dude, like love to have him around. I don't know.
I
does
just,
a lot of funny impressions.
It's like, I cannot stress the meaning of this enough when I say Peter Hastings light.
Light, fucking transparent.
Like super diet Peter Hastings. But like this whole like operatic sequence here, we get the fucking like reflection of him in the dark glass of the window as he's pondering how his empire's crumbled. It's like he's never been enough of a character for this to matter for us. We've never been sold on the Chamber's charm. I don't know. Maybe if this show had better writing, better execution, 5 more episodes, a whole other season.
Yeah, you know, without spoiling anything, I'm thinking of another show right now where there is a father character who's very charismatic, but also would have these like kind of scary, violent temper tantrums occasionally. And it was like, ooh, that's an interesting character you've built there.
Big Little Lies. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is hilarious. We get a cut to Megan's like reading the local news, and it's like Chamber family scandal, wealth tragedy, murder cover up. Let me read you the lead to this right now.
Also, it's written by a staff reporter.
Yeah. It starts off with this is a real article that's written by a reporter. It says, everyone loves a good mystery. And the death of Luke Chambers in Washington's coastal town Chatham was no exception. Like, that's sorry. You could not write that.
Sadly, even before Luke's untimely demise, the Chambers family were no strangers to tragedy. Less than a decade ago, family matriarch June, her name is Jane, June was killed in a car accident. To this day, macabre small-town gossip circulates around the family, whispers suggesting that there have been more tragedy of Mrs. Chambers' death than we know.
That none of us knew, apparently.
What was June's condition at the time of the... Whatever. This is not real. But like, also, to the right, local football hero, Chatham High school grad bound for NFL draft. That seems like a more interesting story.
Is it at a high school, or like, did he go to college?
Just straight to the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's just sitting in her dark ass bedroom with light coming from the windows and several lamps reading this melancholy.
And then Ned Fonts, you know, see Babbage here on the old chat line. It's just like an old colleague in Palo Alto is looking for a coder. Gave him your number. She's like, you mean like a real job? And he's like, yes. She's like, when does it start? And he's like, immediately. And like, she's like, wow, thanks.
I want him to respond with, I don't know, when the guy calls you.
Yeah. I'm not saying you have it yet. I just gave him your number. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't worry about not getting into college. You're going to be a coder, you know, like. Yeah,
which is what Ned wanted all along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does this show end with like Megan going to Europe and like recruiting Jeanette Turner to find Isabella? I don't know.
Anyway, speaking of shot of some stock footage of an airplane here above the clouds and like either the sunset or sunrise. And we see in first class here that Megan's making herself comfortable.
Isabella.
And then some random chick looks over and she says, escaping? And Isabella's like, what? Excuse me? And she's like, oh, are you going home or going away? And she's like, oh, no, it's just I've been here for a year with my best friend.
She lives in this gorgeous town on the water.
Like a postcard. Yeah.
And That's cool.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. My friend Megan's like crazy smart. She's super fun, super loyal. She's everything you could ask for, the best friend. And the other chick isn't like, this girl's a little weird.
Yeah, this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they keep saying Ibiza.
Yeah, they keep saying Ibiza instead of Ibiza. You know, you wouldn't want your new friend to know you're a social climber.
Yeah. She's like school and stuff, you know, so she's not going to Ibiza with me, but I hear it's great, says the other girl. And she's like, and Isabel's like, oh, it is. Ibiza could be tricky, though.
Yeah, you're going to want a partner in crime. I'd be happy to be your party guide. And she's like, that's so nice of you, of course. And Isabel's like, I love making new friends, like big crazy eyes. And girl's like, yeah. I'm Michelle, by the way. And she's like, I'm Lisa. Ha 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 ha. I'm completely nuts. If you don't know where this is going, you've never seen a TV show before.
Yeah. Ugh. I was trying to look up, we kind of fade into like the sunlight there. I'm trying to find the name of the book. Is it called Tangerine? I can't remember the author. It's such a better fucking book that's like telling this story that we've told about female friendship and in like kind of a Patricia Highsmith way. But yeah, so we cut to the dock where like Megan is there to say goodbye to Luke.
She's standing next to their carved initials, like ML, LC. And so she's just, yeah, she's saying goodbye. It's just like, you know, a sunny summer day here. She's still in like jeans and her like Trinity slick back hair.
Her hair looks like it has the contents of this lake
in yeah, it. It looks like an oil spill happened. So anyway, she's like, goodbye. And like, just kind of, they're once again really making this actor do a lot to try to convey what they're going for here with a lot of like big sighs and, you know, crying and everything. And
so she notices like some kind of like light flashing from the trees and goes over.
As she's walking away from the docks, like, oh, what's that weird light flashing in the tree?
Yeah, there's like a surveillance camera mounted on a tree pointed essentially right at the dock. And she's like, say. So she's going to go find that footage.
Well, it does a weird thing where it zooms in on the camera. Lens of the camera. And then we like do a weird thing and like, oh, now we're back at that dock. It's night. And they like immediately cut to like, oh, there's Isabella just standing there.
Well, in like also, street clothes. We travel through like the corridor of time in this this camera thing. Like we're at the beginning of a James Bond movie, like looking through the sniper scope. Like this would have been a great motif if you'd used it throughout the show.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't. And so yeah. Isabella's just standing there and I don't know why she was there to begin with. Like why did she come to the docks? But she looks over and sees like, oh, Luke is like washed up on shore and he's alive. He's like, he's got his head is like kind of in the muck, you know, like right at the water line. So he's breathing air and he kind of looks up.
He looks like Anakin Skywalker, but instead of a fiery planet.
It's yeah.
Like planet
and we're doing like the worst fucking like cover, like slow, like, kind of sad boy or sad girl cover of Dracula right now.
Dracula.
Like what fucking, the fuck?
Fucking Dracula.
Like, awful. Awful.
Yeah. Awful choice. Awful choice. Like this should have been in the end or whatever. Also, I hate to harp on women's fashion. Considering this terrain, why would she have worn these super like, well, high little boots?
You know
you're going to be walking through the woods.
She has changed outfits. She was wearing like a mini skirt and like a tube top or something earlier. She's like changed outfits to come back here. So she's in jeans. But yeah, why is she wearing these like ridiculous platform heels? So anyways, it's like, he's like just real pathetic Anakin Skywalker in here, like, you know, and she just like looks around, no one's there, and then just like sticks her foot out and like stomps his head in the water and like drowns him. It's pretty hilarious.
You would have had something too, as we get this kind of like close up shot of her looking down at him.
Mm-hmm.
If as the moment he dies, she turned and looked at us, the audience,
and smiled.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it's like this should be hammier than it is, yeah. In a way. Like if not smiling at us, like at least like be crazy for the cameras or something. Like, yeah, it's such a bland and blank performance of sociopathy. So anyway, she just like kind of just, you know, holds his head to the muddy water until he stops twitching, and then she kind of like pulls back, like, oh, that was easy, and then she kind of just shoves him off with one more kick into the water and he floats out and, you know, sinks into the water and they won't find him for several months, even though he was right there the whole time.
I just found that one of the lines in the song is tender as the fur, dying as you purr.
Mm-hmm.
This is so dumb. So she's like watching this footage. Megan is like crying as horrified. She sees what happened. This grainy ass footage
that she's apparently room. Just like gone and hacked into Ned Fonce's like shit in or order to whoever. See or something. Or whoever. Yeah.
Like, you need to really stress to me that this is not Ned Fonce's footage.
The cops just never watched this angle. Why would they want to? He was found in the water right there. Yeah.
The one pointing at the water, which is maybe more important than the road. But yeah, we get this real close zoom in as like, it's like Megan is at the end of Midsommar and like Florence Pugh's face. And it's like, oh, we're not quite sure what her expression is, but it's resolute. She's going to do something.
And then we just cut to black and that's the end of the episode. There's no post credits. There's no anything. It's just like, okay, wow. No one saw that coming. You got us.
The last line of the song that plays over and over again is do it, baby.
Mm-hmm. Suffice it to say, this is a pretty dumb episode. Boring into the mystery. It's just not clever or interesting.
Maybe worse than some of the other episodes somehow.
Yeah, whatever. No Debbie, no Lily. Why was Lily in the show? Nobody knows.
Well, like, how are you
Jeff
not
thing?
Have...
We never really went into the whole Jeff and his illicit business Ligging. Thing. Like, we kind of learned half-assedly about it, but we never saw a scene between him and Megan about it. It's just like, okay, whatever.
I don't know what it is, but I think part of the pitch, I think we talked about this before. Part of the pitch is I really need to know, can you do a 30 years later thing? Can it be high school in the 90s and then like we're in 2023? And can I have a background character that is Jeff as a film director who's like actually made it big?
So I think the problem there is you don't have the same actor.
No. I don't think I'm going to have like any like young flashbacks of Jeff. I'm just going to cast an older guy who's like making Jordan Peele-esque movies.
It's like a little True Detective-ish.
Yeah, a little True Detective-ish. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he's actually part of the plot. It's just a little Easter egg.
Yeah.
Just to give my boy Jeff some fucking value for existing in this narrative.
All right. Well,
maybe somebody's listening to Parker on the radio. I don't know.
Do we have anything else to say?
No, we have nothing. The rest is silence.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
If you want to support the pod, you can rate and review us. I can't imagine there's going to be a season 3 of this, but who knows? I like if I were Freeform, I wouldn't want these guys back, like this creative team. I'd be like, no, you guys suck.
Well, especially I feel like especially with like the strike, there's just no reason. And honestly,
we've got all the excuse in the world to cancel it.
What the fuck is Freeform now?
Yeah.
Like what airs each night of the week on Freeform for a network that only has like 2 hours of programming on weekday nights? They had the Bold Type. Never hear about, I mean, that show obviously has been over for some time. Never hear about that. You had Perfectionists. You would have thought the Perfectionists, you would have given it a season 2 just because you fucking need a tent pole of some sort. What is that network? I mean, was it just the writing was on the wall with the way streaming is just like recreating cable in a less interesting way? And
I imagine it will still make money until it doesn't, and then they'll just get rid of it, you know?
I mean, is it just like we're just going to play Harry Potter movies on?
Yeah, they just have a bunch of carriage fees. And ad fees. Yeah. Anyways, like I said, if you want to support the pod, you can rate and view us on iTunes. You can also buy one of our mystery novels. We've written 3 of them about a girl detective named Trouble. You can go to TroubleAlwaysFindsMe.com, or you can go to MyNameIsTrouble.com, or you can go to TroubleTakesAHoliday.com. Those will all get you there. But yeah, MyNameIsTrouble.com. There's 3 books out, working on the 4th, which will probably be out next year.
Jessica Biel, give us a call.
They're good mysteries. You know, one of the things. Let's do a show. One of, you know, behind the scenes here, one of the things we do in the writing process is that when everything is pretty much locked and done, we do one final, like we get hard prints to the book, like hard copy prints, and we read it to each other and we're looking for typos and shit like that. But we're also looking for like, hey, did we miss anything? Is there a fucking plot line we forgot to wrap up? You know, like make sure that we've covered all our fucking bases. And if we haven't, we have to go back and make edits.
Here's a question you have to ask yourself as a writer. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And also, is this dumb? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I will say I enjoyed going through this show as a reminder of what not to ever do. But sure. There is a value in I mean, because there's obviously a version of this podcast that could have been 10-minute episodes where we're like, well, this show fucking sucked. But I think it is important to go through things like this and give them meaning to say, why are you doing this? Here's what you could have done. Here's how to untangle this bad, bad knot. Anyway.
I guess it's an interesting, you know, exercise or whatever. But yeah, my name is Trouble.com. If you'd like to enjoy a better mystery than this show, we'd appreciate it. You can get hardcovers, you can get paperbacks, you can get Kindle and Apple Books, all that. You know, buy wherever books are sold. And that's it. We may never return to this podcast feed. This might be it. So, you know, hope it was worth it.
Christine Mangan, Tangerine. That was the novel I was trying to think of. Sorry, Mark. Great book.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Toodaloo.
Bye-bye.